So you sometimes you gotta power up. You need blue pills. Them vitamins. That's what power ups.
It's funny. It's funny because as young nigga, we got this gum now. It's called Blue Chew. Nigga chewing gum about to tear your bitch throat loose. You know, that's
Lord
funny.
God in heaven, I'm just trying to be here. Jesus, help me, Father God.
Hey, this is it's a special one today. Special one today with old Lump. God, the light's blue.
Come here. Get that button over there. What, the blue? Yeah, the blue one. Yeah, point it that way. Point it right at that one. Oh, this motherfucker will not behave.
They said, nigga, it's going to be red to the death.
Boy, look, and then it's red on a red person. No, no.
It's all good.
It's okay. That mug will not turn. Oh, I'm staying out of that. Oh, wow. Beige people be acting funny, though. I'm sorry.
You know, they said it couldn't be done. They said that I think he's lost his magic. Actually said, I think he's lost it all. And then I said, a narcotics officer was killed today, serving a high-risk warrant in Echo Park. He is survived by his wife and infant child. Pass me the bitch. The best storytelling podcast in the world. This is not a hologram. Yes, this is Bill O. We're coming to you live from the city of Houston, Texas. This place, Sorrell's fucking manor. The stories are true.
Really?
Names have not been changed to protect the innocent. God damn it, you did it. We're going to tell it.
We're going to tell it. It's information.
Sitting with me today, I said, you know, they don't like it when niggas like me tell the truth on this motherfucker. Oh, man. Bill O, man, you're going too far, man. You don't think you should say that. I don't give a fuck. I'll update you on some things. I've lived many places. Jacksonville was one of the places I lived. Shout out to everybody out there in Jacksonville, Florida. Duval County. They got two guys out there. Young and Ace and Fulio. Let me tell you something. Met them niggas when me and Courtney was doing Billy and Coco's out there. Young and Ace came up there with my boy. My nigga, Big Frank. Frank Colion. He runs Mascaras, a gentleman's club. One of the, you know, most prestigious gentleman's club in Jacksonville, if I could say that. Old Big D came down to work security one weekend, and the club got to jumping. And the Young and Ace nigga came in there, and Big D, there's a bunch of dreadhead niggas in there.
Oh, no.
And I said, D, these niggas ain't from Houston, bro. I don't give a fuck about none of that, man. These niggas got to move back. I said, nigga, do you know
niggas who these niggas is? Bulldog out of
these
you,
niggas is killing everybody. I want you to understand, these niggas is rapping about the niggas they killed.
And put them in the song, straight face, names are not
who
changed.
Who I smoke, Lil Nine, who I smoke. The bad part is, when I was growing up, you would kill niggas that killed your cousin. These niggas killing their own goddamn cousin.
And then look, they on a damn golf course.
Yeah, just out there. Just
on golf carts, like telling just, like who I shot, like why I shot them. That was crazy. I heard that today. I was like, you know what, man? I ain't never.
The lyric that got me out of it was, the nigga said on his thing, he said, roll up on a nigga at the job and I clocked him out. I'm like, wait a minute. You clocked the nigga out. This nigga was in line filling out an application at Amazon warehouse, the most non-threatening place.
And then they are hidden. They are like back away. So they had intel.
That nigga, it's a nigga at the job. You know the nigga KT up here trying to fill the application out, man.
Yeah,
y'all can go and roll up here on him. I'm trying to figure out how they got him out. But the niggas related. Nigga probably told his granny, hey man, tell KT to go up. They hiring up there. How much they hiring for? $35 out. Tell him to go between 3 and 6.
Man.
These niggas. Hey man, they kidnapping niggas, man, and rapping about the shit. They putting people pictures. Fulio killed three of Young and Ace, killed his blood brother, shot his sister, killed his two best friends, then went and shot a music video at their grave.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Is all this public information?
Yes.
Okay, I'm asking that because I don't want to be affiliated with that because I'm retired.
Nigga, you don't retire from Crippin', cuz.
But look, I'm retired. If I have a relapse, it's going to be bad for a lot of people, man.
Hey, man. This,
I'm
hey
not
man,
tough
you
no
tell
more.
Them, but, hey, this man, you know, whenever you get a Crip on your show, you got to get all the blue lights in place. This is a Crip turned pastor. He's the only nigga I know that's got a
an AK. Hey, man, a Bible. Hey, man, this nigga got a 40 cal, man. Right, hey, man. Right next to the Old Testament.
Dude. Yeah, man.
He one of the niggas, he got his Bible separate, new and old.
I have.
Hey, that's why he told me that. Hey, you know when a nigga finna do some ignorant shit when they say, you know, I'm going Old Testament today. What that mean? Ain't no forgiveness over here, cuz.
Nah, none at all.
So I started working with Lump, man. People don't know I had a graphic design company here in Houston, so I was doing flyers. Lump, by way of telling everybody how dope I was the best advertisement. Because he'd be telling people, because people be calling my moving business real, so I was getting my flyer done. So niggas just show up over here. Harvey Harper was one of my frat brothers. God bless his soul.
Yeah.
H2. And I think it's fair that I can say this, how this nigga got me into my drug dealing years. And how I got my street credibility. It was unasked for every time. I'm in here doing flyers and shit on a computer.
He not telling y'all that when he was doing flyers. The thing that, yeah, man, the thing that Billy would do, Billy would piss you off, because Billy is, to this day, hands down, dope flyer designer, graphic designer. He was doing photography, and then he decided to pick up a camera and start shooting videos. Anytime you got somebody who's not good but great at everything, he can kind of let his nuts hang. So we be in the house, Dad Sorrell, Pop Sorrell's would be in there, Billy have dishes all in the damn sink. Niggas over there cooking noodles. Niggas is cooking, bringing meat over there. Now, mind you, everybody's waiting in line at the same time trying to get their goddamn flyer done. And Billy was a man whore, so in between breaks, he'd be knocking down whatever he was knocking down. I'm just if I'm going to tell the story, I'm going to tell it all.
And then, look, you
couldn't get mad, because who else are you going to go get?
I'll be right back.
Then he'd be sitting there, pump you up. Man, I'm just had you dripping, dog. I'm about to have you dripping. Your fly gonna be dripping, dog. Man, don't worry about that. I was just in there handling, man. You a man too, ain't you? Look, shit, I just had to do what I had to do. I can't leave. Y'all coming over here. Oh, boy, yeah, have you so dope. Then one day we got caught in this gate. You remember that time I had to jump that fence with them big ass boots on?
Hey, man, I remember we got stuck in the apartment complex. Couldn't get out.
Remember that time they towed my car and I had all my guns?
Oh, man. All your guns today.
That was a bad
I remember, day. So on particular day, this nigga Harvey shows up to my house unannounced. Hey, man, somebody in your room? I'm like, nah, nope, you good. You go in there. I need to put something in your closet. I ain't paying attention to nothing that's going on. I'm doing flyers, got my back turned. Niggas is there. Man, I go in there to go change my shoes, because I'm about to go to Papa Do's and go drink for happy hour to finish my work.
And he still got niggas in there waiting.
Eh. Yeah, I can sure hear. Now, actually, nobody was there. When I was about to leave out of here, there was nobody there. Nigga, I go in my closet. It's 3 black duffel bags. I said, what the fuck this nigga going on a trip? Like, nigga, this the fuck? Nigga, this nigga got
Jesus,
7 bricks of cocaine in that bitch. And the rest of the 2 other bags full of weed. Another bag got on a zipper side, got pills in it. I said, hey! Hey! I called her, I said, hey, man, what's up? He said, nah, nigga, just chill, calm down. I said, man, you can't do that. Man, I'm not finna go to jail for you, Mace. He said, nigga, who know is there besides me and you? Man,
nigga playing psychologist on you.
I don't know. I said, man, what you doing? He said, nah, what you got it? you a real nigga, right? He said, look behind the bag. This nigga got a long-ass shotgun behind the bag. I say, what am I do with that? Nigga come through the door, just shoot at the door. I say, what? See, man, I ain't ask for none of this, Harvey. Harvey, oh man, you act like you ain't never seen no dope before. Nigga, that shit cool. You be all right. So what I'm supposed to do with this when you come back to get it? I'm not coming back to get it, but my homeboy gonna be there to pick it up.
Hell no. Hell and no.
I said, man, come get your shit. I'm on a flight, man. You know we gotta go out here to Boston Celtics. They in the finals. I say, y'all gone? Yeah, we gone. So, what I'm gonna do? I can't go take this to the police. I'm going to jail immediately.
Can't tell nobody.
Mm-mm. So now I'm trimmer. You know, I can't say nothing. I got all this work in my house. I'm like, nigga, this is the most uncomfortable shit for 2 days. This nigga left me with all them drugs in my house. Nigga called
That's
me
a
on
long
Monday.
Time, girl.
I said, bro, where you coming to get your shit? I know, I told you I ain't coming to get it. But listen, it's going to be a nigga in a Suburban come through there at about 4:30. All you got to do is open the door and let him in. He going to leave a bag, let him get them back. I said, it's a transaction, nigga. He don't want you, he want the dope. I said, man, fuck all this, bro. Nigga left that goddamn dope, nigga came. I was terrified, bro. Because it's like, nigga, I ain't know how to shoot this shotgun. This ain't... Then I'm kind of like, what I want to kill him for? We don't really know each other. I'm trying to figure out.
You didn't want to do the whole gamut.
He didn't even look like the... Dog. And the nigga that come through the door in my head, I'm thinking it's going to be one of them nigga, one of them Haitian niggas with dreads. And the nigga came through. We had a polo shirt on, some khakis. The most unsuspecting nigga to pick these boxes, these bags up. I'm like, so I'm looking at him. He grabbed the bag. He said, man, can you grab the other one? I was like, nah, that's part of the trick. I ain't touching this shit. My hands ain't going to.
Did he drop the other bag, though, with
He's
the
like,
bread?
Man, I'll be right back. Man, he dropped the other bag. And I said, Harvey, he left the bag and he's gone. I locked the door. He said, look, good. Soon as he pull off, run to your car. I said, wait a minute, nigga. Why I got to run now? You said it was cool. He said, nigga, now they got the dope and they can take the money. You got to just get the fuck out of there. Grab the shotgun, run to the car. Now I got a satchel on and I'm running like this. Through the Savoy, I'm diving in my Impala, throwing the shit in there. Nigga, meet me at Blue. So I'm flying. I'm doing like 70 miles an hour.
I ain't flying with the dope in the guns.
Man, I got there. And I never seen so much money cash.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, here, bro, I just want to get the fuck out of this shit.
Mm-mm.
That nigga gave me $7,000.
He punked you.
Nigga, first of all, I need you to understand something. $7,000 cash.
That's a lot of money in college.
When you in your 20s, out of college, it's like... Oh, all right, so when you got some more of them bags? R.I.P. Harvey Harper. I love you to death,
rest
man.
In peace,
yeah, man, Jared.
Yep. I did a show with Harvey at Prairie View. Look at Harvey did. He slicked me.
How'd he do you?
We had a rec shop at Prairie View, right?
And you got to explain who rec shop is.
Rec Shop Records, D-Rec, one of the foundational.
And who was some of their artists?
Big Mo. You had, who else was on? Mo Gotti was on there. Ronnie Spencer was on there at one time. But the killer was when Bar Baby came out. Renetta, who was now 20 plus years old with a child and married. She was the one who was singing, Bar Baby, Bar Baby. We put her in a chair at Prairie View and she sang that song. But before we get to that part, they need to put the money in somebody's name. Now, we didn't got this check. So, you know, the deal is you go high with the university and then you cut a deal with the artist. You cut a deal with the artist because all of the extra bread.
You keep it.
You keep all of that. So Harvey had with H2 Promotions, right?
Yeah.
And on the level, I had been doing that since I was 18. Since I was 19 at U of H at the car shows. When I showed the box how to do the first car show when I was 19, like a dummy. But anyway, Harvey was like, I was like, man, who name we putting this in? He was like, nah, Lump, we gonna put it in your company name. I was like, why we gotta put it in my company name? Nigga, I gotta pay taxes on it then. He was like, man, you ain't really got to worry about taxes. You just write it off. Because once you show what came in and what came out, it did it. I was like, dog, I just look like this. Like, but anyway, I'm ready to say this because it's 20 years later now. Man, look here. They gave us a check for like 30 racks. We paid them niggas like 12,000. That was a good come up.
All thanks to Harvey.
All thanks to Harvey. And, you know, and I still got taxed on that damn money, too. The RSA came and hit me with an axe. Yeah.
Tore your shit out. Like, bro, coming from L.A. and, like, y'all had no choice but to get affiliated and shit. Today's episode is titled Blue Laces.
Rest in peace, Nip.
Shout out. Hey, rest in peace, Nip.
We got it clear, too. We did talk to Mr. Lee. Mr. Lee is the guy who did the track for Nipsey for Blue Laces. He did Blue Laces 1, he did Blue Laces 2, and Blue Laces 3 is getting ready to come out. And Leroy was smart. He actually owns the name Blue Laces. So we cleared it with him. So the rest of y'all got to pay Leroy Williams if y'all use Blue Laces. So we cleared it. That's my homeboy. So it
is. But I'm going to tell you where my story starts. My story starts, this is about Blue Laces and niggas cribbing. we're going to take it to the year of 2016. I am working for BET at the BET Awards.
Now, I've been living in L.A. since 2011. So I've seen Nip around a lot. I moved in 93rd and Main. When I first moved to L.A., I was staying on 63rd and Crenshaw.
Yeah, right in the middle of 63rd.
Right there. Hey, I was renting a room at the Crenshaw Inn. They had turned like four of their back parts of motels into like monthly rentals. Mm-hmm. So I was paying $1,100 when I first got to L.A. to stay there.
For a room.
My homeboy, who's my frat brother, Martell, he's 60s. He neighborhood.
I remember Martell.
Now, his mom, shout out to her. Number love for your mom, Martell, but you know your mama took me on a date and she was... She kept asking me, you know, whenever you need anything, I got you. So I'm like, all right, shit.
What that mean?
Well, you know...
Yeah, what that mean? Sounds a little cougarish. What that mean, though?
It was, cuz I didn't know nothing about it, dog. I wasn't ready for this, dog. Like, Martell was hey, man, Martell showed me number love, so, man.
I ain't gonna even say what I wanna say, but hey, I really didn't wanna ask you, did you go meet the meat?
So, what happened is.
You didn't wanna answer the question.
Nah,
that nigga went meet the meat.
I gotta tell you
what happened. Dirty dick.
Hey, so we went to the. She was like, you wanna get something to eat? I'm gonna take you to eat. You know, we're gonna go to Cheesecake Factory. Oh, so, we in the Grove. I ain't thinking. I go to Cheesecake Factory with the lady. We in there, she's smiling, order. She big, nice, new Lexus. She work at the post office.
She like got bread, yeah.
She like assistant postmaster general, one of them stupid titles. She got these big glasses on. She got her hair all flipped out. She done got jazzed up her stomach out. She got a navel ring. I said, hold on, mom, I thought we just grabbing some food. So we walk in, trying to walk into to Cheesecake Factory. If you ever been to the Grove, they got an escalator to go up in there. You walk in the Grove, across from the Apple Store. And like right when I get to the escalator, I'm holding the door open. Right before I get to the escalator, I'm standing there. She grabbed my hands and locks fingers with me. I said, uh-oh. So now we holding hands going up this escalator. And she just looking at me. She said, I'm just so proud of you and stuff you're doing. Them fingers is locked in tight. I said, I don't know what's happening. She put her hand in the small of my back like I'm finna fall. Like I'm a child. Then she walked me to this table and sat me down. And she was just like, so you enjoying L.A. so far? And I'm like, yeah. And nigga, she had the straw and she she sending shots. I'm about four shots in with this lady, man. We lit. So it's like, you know, you want to go watch a movie? The movie playing next door. We can go watch a movie or something. I'm like, shit, I mean, I guess. Nigga, we in the movies. We on a full date. She got popcorn.
Full date. And that's your homeboy mama.
Man, bro, let me tell you something.
Terrible, my dude.
I kept trying to tell him, like, bruh, she's like, hey, man, mom got you. You good, cuz. You just enjoy, relax. I'm like, no, nigga, you don't understand.
That nigga gave his mom as a layup for the booty, for the cooter bang.
Hey, man.
Stone cold layup, cuz. That is terrible.
Some young chicks that was in the movie, so they looking, and they're like, one bitch see me. That's it from YouTube. Hey, that's your mama up there? Hey, bitch, wait a minute. So we in the movies, man, and she started kissing me on my ear. What? And I'm like, oh, man, come on. Don't do me like that in here, man. It's the movies, dog.
That's what the movies is for.
Nigga, she 50.
So what?
I'm 22, nigga. Maybe 23. Cause
that cooter bang work.
Hey, man, I didn't. Now, listen, I had a 57-year-old prostitute. That's on episode 3. I was 17 when I did that at two bars. Mm-hmm. Go back and watch that story later on. But
boy, these church people gonna kill me.
Hey, man, listen, bro. But in this instance, this day, man, I'm like, shit. I left there, we holding hands. The girl, young chicks was walking by us, walking to the parking lot, dog. They watching us and shit. I'm just like, now I felt like what a young woman feel like to trick themselves out, bro. I didn't have no money. I was like,
oh yeah, you went on the ride, yeah. You say where we going tomorrow?
We went to Magic Mountain, we went to Disneyland.
You went to Magic Mountain with that
man? That lady took me everywhere, man. Let me tell you something, man. I ain't got nothing. Hey, we went to Magic Mountain, nigga. She had these little shorts on. I said, I see you had ass back in the day.
Back in the day, where they had kind of like drop a little bit?
Man, it was just like that meat that hung under the bottom.
Yeah, she had booty beat, ain't you?
Yeah, she got booty beat.
Forgive me, God. This is Billy.
Now, how'd you get introduced to cribbing?
In L.A., it's different, man. You know, it's like you grow up. I grew up, it's crazy. I grew up on 36 right off in between McKinley and Avalon. And it's Bloods in my neighborhood, like 36, 37th, and 38th.
Is that Harlem?
No, that's Birders from Harlem. That's from 30s. That's the other 30s. That's on the other side. But what happens is, because you know the streets in LA run long on the east side and the west side.
Shout out my nigga Twin from 30s from Harlem over there, man. Shout out to him.
And a lot of people don't know this. And since we're talking about it, Lil Loon, Lil Looney is Omarion's dad. And that's what come up when the B2K scandal came out. You notice they never really put Omarion in the whole Booty Bandit thing? They didn't do that. And the reason why is because Loon, his daddy, you don't get your name. You know, back in that day, you got your name. You earned your name from the set.
Yeah.
Lil Looney. His uncle's name is Flim Flam. I had my party at the office. And Flim Flam, we had to put him on the plane the next day because he tried to fight the whole police force at my party. Like, so long of a short, Bird, you know, Bird looked like a bird. That's how Bird got his nickname. He from Harlem as well. And growing up in my neighborhood, man, you know, it's funny. Like, I stayed on 36. My grandmother stayed on 41st and Central in between Wadsworth and Jeff. Over there were number Crips. We was in the 40s. So, like, from the 40s back, the 30s is Bloods, Browns, Backstreet, BSVs, Bloodstone Villains. We grew up with these cats. But then when you start getting in school, you start picking sides. If your family members was Bloods, you was a Blood. And like you, it's not like I woke up one day and was like, I stayed in basically, I hung in basically a Crip neighborhood. It wasn't like I was like, I'm going to be a Blood. No, it's just that my niggas, they jumped off the porch. So I jumped off the porch. And then once I started getting in trouble, I was a good kid, but I made the gangbanger stop at 1148 East 41st Street, which was my grandmother's address, or it stopped at 663 East 36th Street, which was my mama's house. So even though the cats over there knew I was from Four Deuce, I stayed over with my grandmother's most of the time because I had a young mama. She had me, she was 15. So they never played with me like that. You know, like whatever it was and whoever came through, it was cease and desist because we grew up together. Like if you play with me, man, I'm going to go to your house. You know what I'm saying? Like it was like that. Yeah. So we don't have them kind of problems. Like the youngsters today, it's a little different. It's like even with Tyrone being in Pasadena, you know, there's a lot of buzz in Dena. And there's a lot of buzz on the West Side because a lot of people don't really understand it. When Crippin first started with Raymond Washington, and then you got cats like Tookie, and then you got cats like Mr. J from my set, which I really don't, let me clear this part up. I'm talking about it now because the only way that I really talk about it is because if I can help somebody get out of it. Because what it started and what it is now,
different.
It's some bullshit, actually, is what it is. But a lot of the Bloods, they called each other, a lot of the cats, you know, lower income, socioeconomic backgrounds, they would get drafted. And when they went to the service, the way that the blacks communicated was, hey, young blood, what you got going on?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, young blood, this, young blood, that. So when they came back, the lingo kept. So most of the cats on the east side, they were Crips. And it started out right, protecting the neighborhoods, kind of an offset of the Panthers and the Slawsons. And then it changed because gangbanging, they never really produced no money until crack came into it. So cats was robbing and stealing. And the way that the Crips really got their name, which is crazy, a lot of Koreans used to be on the east side in L.A. The east side, like right now, is predominantly Hispanic. But what happened was a lot of the Koreans migrated there because there was a lot of work on the east side and really the west side. But there was a lot of factories on the east side. And a group of cats who were Crips, one of them literally had a cane. He had a cane. He was literally crippled. And they jumped on these Koreans. Like, they pretty much mugged them. And there was a language barrier there. So when they went to the police station to try to tell or describe to people what it was or who they were, the only thing that the Korean lady would say, he was a Crip. He was a cripple. He was a Crip. And I swear to God, that's how it stuck. And then they took it to community resources, any party, any inter-party coalition. Like, it was wild because the way that the name came and what they changed it from, what they changed it to was one thing, but when Tookie and them was doing it, they literally were about helping the community, keeping cats out. But what happened was some of them began to change and they started being thugs and bullies. So the cats that were the Bloods on the west side, they was like, nah, cats from the west side, from the east side would go to the west side because they had the prettier girls, more money on the west side. And it became like, no, y'all can't come over here. So them cats who would come back from Vietnam, who call themselves Young Bloods, now you got these cats who are now calling themselves the Crips, they begin to clash. And like back in the day, it wasn't popular to be a Blood, it was popular to be a Crip. So back in the 80s when I grew up, late 70s and 80s when I grew up, it was a whole lot more Crips. And when you saw Bloods, it was just different, you know? Like, you really wanted to be a Blood. Like, you had to want to be a Blood. It was easy to be a Crip. That's how come, but now things have changed. Gang banging, Crips who really couldn't, and gang members who really couldn't make it in L.A., came back to their roots. A lot of people have roots in Louisiana.
Yeah.
So they come here when they can't make it there. So down here, they the biggest gangsters in the world, but in L.A., they was busters. We called them L7s. L7 is a square. That's what we called them. So we called them L7s and we called them Marks, you know. And some cats, they was Crips in L.A., but when they traveled, they became vice lords, they became bloods and everything. So it's just crazy. You know what I'm saying?
So, like, nigga, did you ever feel like you was gonna die? Like, was there a day that you was like, nigga, this is it, I'm dead?
Yep, a whole bunch of days. One day we was coming home.
What year was it?
I ain't here to tell my age, bro, but I was young. They put it like this, Breaking was out.
So this is 80s?
No, not Breaking, B Street. That's how long it 79? Was. We at the damn bus stop, and this is crazy. So some carloads and some bloods had rolled up, and they saw us sitting there. You can tell from the way somebody dresses where they're from. You ain't necessarily got to have a flag in your pocket. They know where you're from. You know what I'm saying? Like, people look at me now, you kind of know, like, you from L.A.? There's certain little things that you can see on me, even though I'm nowhere close to being active, because I think gangbanging is the dumbest shit in the world now. You kind of know what side I chose. So anyway, these cars pull up, and these dudes get out. And they was like, what it be like? You know, that's how I used to be in L.A. What it be like? You
all right, it's definitely some 70 shit. Ain't
yeah.
No, and a young nigga walking up, hey, what it be like, my brother?
Nah, but, you know, they said what it be like. We said what it see like.
Oh, okay.
So that's how that came. But long of a short, they jumped out the car. The bus was coming. It was like four of us, five of us. And one of the homies jumped on the bus. He messed up the odds. He left us there. So basically, you got four grown men. These fools get out the car with bumper jacks. You know them old school bumper jacks? With the whole... You know, you had the straight rod and the little thing at the bottom, and how you jack up the car.
Bumper jack?
These fools literally pulled out a bumper jack. We called it a bumper jack because that's how you put the damn thing under the bumper to lift it up. That's how the car, so they pulled them out like.
So y'all finna fight these nigga grown men?
We had no choice. We just had to get beat up.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, my homeboy named Daryl, he got, at the time, I didn't know what was happening. He put his hands in his pocket, and the fools came up. Even though, I'm a big dude, but I was just skinny and tall. But I was the biggest one there. So who you think they coming to get first?
You.
Nigga, I done summoned the powers from Zeus. Dodging this fool, swinging his bumper jack like he's Thor. Roderick then got on the damn bus and going to the house. Daryl's little brother, Chris, might be 7. We got him on top of the seat at the bus stop. He crying, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. They look like they getting closer to Chris. So then the adrenaline start running. We back to back, knocking these boys out. These boys just getting us. It ain't like we just like winning, because they grown. They handling us.
Somebody hitting you with the jack.
No, I ain't getting hit with that jack. You hit with that jack, it's a wrap. So D-Double, my homeboy, he built like Conan, but he can't get in the asteroid and ride all the rides with his short ass. He little as hell, you know what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, man, Daryl put his hands in his pocket and he came out. Bam! Bam! Boys is falling. This nigga put some brass knuckles. He has some brass knuckles in his pocket.
So wait, you gotta explain what brass knuckles is. If you never seen brass knuckles before, it's like it's a
five finger ring. It's a four five, finger ring. Yeah, four finger.
It's like that, and it's metal over your knuckles. And when you hit somebody,
it's a wrap.
You going to sleep, bro.
They going to sleep. So the bus started coming again. So of course we knocking them out. And Daryl took, somebody took the bumper jack. And the way that you can actually make a car inoperable is you take the jack and you knock out the radiator.
Yeah.
Like you just swing it and knock out the radiator. So we knocked out two of the radiators. We hop on the bus. We get to the house. I ain't saying nothing to nobody. And D was like, what's wrong, Long? What's wrong? What's wrong? They call me Big O. What's wrong, Big O? I was like, that nigga left. Damn them jumping us, but that nigga left. Homie, one thing you don't ever do in no fight, you don't leave your people. You either get whooped together or y'all win together. Yeah. But you don't mess up the odds and run. Because if you run, it's a wrap. So he at Daryl's house. You know that picnic furniture they have in your front yard? Like the Mexicans come by selling it. It's like the red picnic benches and the table. Roderick's sitting on there and Daryl's mama is there. I kick the damn thing over. I pick up the bench and commence to beating him with it. And they was like, Orion, you're going to kill him. I said, I'm trying to.
How could he left your ass in this fight?
Dog, he left all of us. Dog, he could have got us killed. So you asked me, and there's another time we was at the Jungles.
Oh, oh wait a minute. Hold on. Pause. Now, backstory. A lot of y'all seen Training Day. Remember that scene when Denzel rolled down that street, there wasn't no way out?
The one way in?
All was doing this, and on the show, on the thing, they made them niggas look like they had on orange. Now, them niggas had on red.
Yes.
Nigga, the Jungles is like notoriously blood. Now,
blood that forever.
So.
My uncle worked at the liquor store on the corner of Santa Rosa.
It's a corner
Rosa
right there. Let me tell you what happened. With gentrification, they went through and they started redeveloping all this shit. 2016, me and Courtney, we just had our second daughter. We just had Indigo. We in LA. She like, I've been looking at apartments all week. I found us something. I said, oh, okay, shit. What's the deal? 1800, two bedroom, with a washer and dryer. I said, get the fuck out of here, for real?
Yes,
yes. It's got an up and a downstairs. I said, it's a townhouse? Nigga, I got to go. I'm not paying attention. I'm driving. GPS. And so, I'm not thinking about nothing. The kids in the back seat. We pull up. We get out. We new married couple, new two babies, you know what I'm saying? We speaking to people. I got the money for that shit immediately at Bank of America. Got the money water. We in here. Lady already said the credit was approved. We go in there. Boom. Courtney filling out the shit, filling out the lease paperwork. I'm sitting outside in the car with the kids, keeping them calm. Man, so I just started looking. Started noticing niggas riding by on bikes.
Yeah, he doing all the intel. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, school must have just got out. Niggas, it's July. So I keep seeing these niggas on bikes. So I said, man, you might have a bike ride over here or something. They might got a bike trail. So I ain't thinking nothing of it. Man, let me tell you something. I called my homeboy Teddy. Teddy Ray. Love Teddy Ray to death. Teddy Ray is from LA. He from West LA.
Where y'all at, cuz?
He say, hey man, where y'all at, cuz? I say, man, we just got this badass new apartment. It's a townhouse. He said, oh shit, cuz, where you at? The marina? I'm like, nah, man, we go over here. I was like, man, shit, send me a location. I boogoo, send a nigga location. You know.
You got quiet, didn't
he? Nothing. You see them dots? You know them three dots when a nigga typing? All the nigga text me back was in capital, leave. That's it. Leave. Oh, he can't believe when I'm. You can't believe either. I can't either. 1800, nigga. He said, nah, cut, leave. I called him. I said, bro, what's up? Nigga, that's the Jungles. I said, nah, this ain't no Jungles. Look, nigga, this shit look brand new. He said, nigga, it's the Jungles today. It's going to be the Jungles forever.
God damn right.
He said, is it dark? It ain't dark yet. He said, wait till nightfall. He said, nigga, look at all them bloods on the outside of the gate. I said, it's gated in. He said, nigga, they don't give a fuck about that gate. No. I told Courtney, I said, this is the Jungles. She said, where they shot Training Day? I said, yeah. We started noticing this shit. Got the fuck up out
of here. Yeah, man.
If you ever go there, Nickerson Gardens, neither one of them places.
Nickerson Gardens or the Jungles are some of the most dangerous places in the world. That project is different. I'm at the, Sean, my cousin Sean, he stayed in LA. He came to Texas for a year when we stayed in Hockley, Waller, but he couldn't take it. So he went back to the crib. I'm rolling with him. He's in a Bug Club at one point, the Mustang Club, and I-Rock Club. Car Club culture is just huge in LA. I'm with him one night. We in the damn, leaving the junk. We in the Jungles, trying to leave the Jungles. One thing about that split, that leg splitter, it'll make a man go a whole bunch of places. So he's like, man, you know, his bug was burgundy. So, of course, it's a little, you know, it's just burgundy. But he from the east side, even photos as well. Well, we over there, and somebody noticed Sean. You hear niggas chirping. I was like, oh,
what's
man.
The chirping? What's that?
The chirping is just alerting everybody in the Jungles that there's some niggas over here who ain't supposed to be. Well, it's basically just alerting them like, hey, y'all come look. So now everybody on alert. It ain't no fucking, no cell phones at this time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got them, but he didn't have one.
Yeah.
We in the damn Jungles, him and his other couple of his homeboys messing with these girls. And they parked at the end. Because you know it's got like an angle going down. So they stay toward the bottom. So it's easy in and easy out.
Yeah.
Say, look here, man. All I heard was click, 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 click. Hit the dudes up at the front. They loading up. They realize who it is, what a car is. Because fools know your car in LA. Oh, that's the homie, though. Yeah, he stay over there on Lamoli, but he from the east side. Da, 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 da. I'm hearing all this information. Man, before I knew it, all I heard was bow. Chicka, 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 bow, 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 chicka, chicka. I'm in the car. So Sean knows what it is. He runs outside. Darren get in the other car, his homeboy, Darren Poland. Bruh, that's what made me stop. I never wanted a 9mm after that. I was watching these cats shoot these guns, and they were so far up the hill, but when you shooting down, the bullets was hitting the back of like the car, like the back windows, and they was bouncing. Hitting the street, bouncing and kicking up. Bruh, I ain't never been so nervous in my life. Like, that's the one time that I really thought, like, we was going to get it, because it was gunfire. You know, it was like, that's what it was, man. So, you know, and then I think about it now. I really don't want to get caught up in that gang. Some of the stuff I can't really speak on, but when you think about it, I was a Crip because my grandmother stayed in the neighborhood that she was in. Some of my family members were Bloods because that's the neighborhood they stayed in. Most of our people didn't own no property. We raising the flag for what we thought was pretty much a country. Like, when you think about how we really thought we was raising the flag for a neighborhood that didn't love us. And we fought each other based on demographics, nothing else. But when crack came into the scene, when cocaine came into it, cats on the west side had to work. Cats on the east side had the money. So it was like what was forbidden to where, you know, Crips didn't really hang with Bloods and Bloods didn't hang with Crips, but a lot of them cats grew up together. So they were just cool and they respected one another. But then when the gunplay came in, because see, when crack came in, it expedited the guns because you had money to buy the guns. So then what would happen was I just sat back and I thought about it. My sophomore year at U of H, I never will forget it. No, my freshman year at U of H, that's what the year when Magic Johnson said he contracted AIDS. And I was just sitting there. And I was just like, why am I really holding the flag for cats who, well, we found it on certain principles, they don't even hold up to them. You got cats who was literally killing each other, and they knew each other. And they always ask, why this gangbanger, why won't it die? Well, if somebody killed your brother, forgiveness is the last thing on your mind.
Yeah, hell no.
So, you know, you keep going back and forth, but then when you think about it and when the dope came into it, which is my point, you begin to realize that we all were the same people. We just picked the color, and we literally fighting over color. That's the dumbest shit that I've never heard of now.
And you know, you've done so much, like, I guess that's helped, like, working at Capitol Records when I first met you.
Mm-hmm.
You work with a lot of artists and help them get started. Cash Money was one of the groups with Baby, and I'm sure you got several great Baby Cash Money stories.
Yeah, I do. I'm fighting right now. Like, me and Stunner fighting right now, but it's cool. But but the one thing that I will say is, like, the story that kind of started this whole thought process off was my Suge Knight story that I never really tell.
Well, guess what, y'all? We got more Did You Miss Me podcast coming your way right after this. We're going to take a brief break. Coming back, we got my boy Lump. Hey, man. He's got a Suge Knight story. All that coming to you. More to come.
Definitely.
Did You Miss Me podcast. We'll be right after this. Nigga, like, that's my boy.
Who's that?
Me. Yeah. All right, we back up in here. Back up in this thing again. Best storytelling podcast in the world. Your boy Billy Surreal's Bill O right here. Joining me today, Young Lump.
Yes, sir.
Now, we left y'all, this title of this episode is Blue Laces. Shout out to all the Crips out there. We ain't got nothing but love for you.
Career.
We got one of the Crip founders.
No. Hell no. God damn, what's boy trying to put me in the grave, dude? I am not that old, cuz. Yeah,
he was
anybody who might have had a light ring.
The founding fathers of Crip is.
Look at this. Hey, Tyro, if somebody had a lightweight crush on me, all that shit is done at this point. You hear me? It's done. It's
founding father. Man, I mean, as a nigga from Texas, I want to say this. We got the most beautiful women in the whole
family. Amen and praise God.
Not just beautiful, though. I put the challenge out.
And fine.
These women is independent as fuck. They get their own goddamn money. They're wifeable today. Yeah, you take any motherfuckers somewhere and drop them off your city, you're going to wife them. I challenge anybody out there that think they got more wifeable, wife-ready, badass women in their city, call me up, 323-323-385-9734. We'll get somebody over here to you, because I'm going to make it rain wives from here all the way to the end of the goddamn year. It's wives everywhere.
Wow.
I done fucked around and got divorced and shit and came back outside and was like, nigga, it's wives everywhere. Right? Yeah. Yeah, I am complaining now the bitches that don't want to act right, and they're everywhere. Look at that bitch, you want to take me out? Yes, I appreciate it. Yes, I will. You know, the shit be fucked up. You know, you be out here thinking you dig bad, you know, married. I just realized motherfucker hated me for 9 years. Gave his dick back out again. That motherfucker was screaming, huh? I'm like, shoot, what was that for? Oh, that's for me. Oh, okay, shit. I'm doing that. What are you trying to prove?
You said it's
what?
All me.
It's all me. Whatever. Miss Normie don't give me no emotions. You know, she Charlie Chaplin on the dick, you know? Like, nothing, niggas. I'm just like, oh, niggas, my dick is fine. The street says my dick is okay. I'm like, wow. Thinking my shit is bad, and I'm like.
And all my church members, y'all forgive me. I'm human. This is my partner. I don't leave my partners alone.
I don't know why they ask stupid questions, though. Motherfucker gonna ask me, so are you having sex with anybody? A couple people, too. Yeah.
They really asked you about your sex life?
Yeah. Ex-wife asked me, just trying to hit me with that curveball. Like, I was finna be like, nah. Just let me tell you something. I'm outside. And word on the street, my dick is phenomenal. Know what the fuck you be dealing with.
What we used to say.
Motherfucker asked me, she just left this.
Hey, man, Billy used to have this thing. Like, it worked, too, for him. He was like, so you just scared? I'm going to put this baby leg in you? You scared? That was his line.
When that baby leg hit you, man, the Captain Hook, the hook, hey, man, let me tell you something. I was ashamed of having a hook dick for so many years. I did not know that was a thing, that they were searching for niggas like that.
You got a hook in your dick?
Yeah. Well, I want to see. It's nuts, man. I mean, because a lot of times niggas get in a gang banging and shit behind a woman, bro. Like, you get yourself in so many fucked up situations behind a broad, behind some bullshit.
Guess what's undefeated?
What?
They say time.
Time.
But coochie is undefeated. Cooter bang is undefeated. So, now, it can't be long as I-10 wide as 6-10. But yeah, you can't have one. You can't have high mileage on you, you know. Oh, matter of fact, Billy had an app. It was called the Cat Facts. I thought I forgot about that. Boy had Cat Facts. I remember Cat Facts, dude.
Yeah, it's an app for that.
You need to bring that. You need to bring that. Cat Facts.
You can find out who you fuck with. I got an app for that.
Hold on.
I can tell you all the niggas you fuck
cat
with.
Cat Facts, yeah.
What's your name?
Deanna.
Cat Facts.
Search Deanna. South Houston. Yep.
That's what she's being, California.
Ball player, drug dealer. We got three. We got three. Came back right now to tell you what's going on.
Cat Facts.
I mean, being a nigga from Texas, going to L.A., I still got spirit for the teams that I support. I'm still an Astros fan. So I'm in L.A.
Ooh-wee.
Wearing my classic Astros hat.
Not star. Good. Hoover with an H with a star in it.
Had no That's fucking idea.
No.
Hoover grooving.
They grooving with that.
No.
I didn't know none of that shit. I go to the store. I'm living off 93rd and Main Street.
Ooh, he was main by me. Ooh.
East Coast. Shout out to everybody.
East Coast. I got some potters from East Coast.
All my niggas. A-Trey. Oh, man.
Bill Sharp. A-Trey, program director in Shreveport. Nobody will never know. He's from ETG. He's from A-Trey Gangs.
Hey, man. Nothing to play with. So I got this hat on. And nigga, all I know is me and my little brother, my stepbrother, we in L.A. Now, this nigga, I don't know. At 19, he looks like somebody that was a stone cold criminal. He got all the sleeves and shit done. Man, we at the store, nigga. I got my hat on, nigga. Nigga, we buying some liquor. Nigga, the nigga pushed my liquor back off the thing. He was like, nah, you can't have that. I'm like, wait, what? What's going on? Yeah, so where you from, homie? Nigga, this a nigga came in the store on the bike. Nigga got off the bike. So nigga, they pressed us at the goddamn checkout. I was like, nigga. So where you from? I was like, nigga, Houston. Nah, but really, for where you from, though?
Yeah, where your grandmama stay?
Houston. Yeah. My grandma dead, nigga. I don't know what y'all want from me.
Yeah.
Man, them niggas was pressing us, nigga, for about 7-8 minutes. I'm thinking these niggas being hospitable. Like, yeah, nigga, so like, what, you know, what you into? Like, you got any sisters out here or nothing? I'm like,
yeah, they trying to figure out where you from, homie.
my brother, his old friend, said, well, actually, my sister, actually. I was like, no, nigga. These niggas ain't our friends.
Not at all. They about to run, y'all.
Man, it's about to run us, man. And one of them niggas was like, oh, that's cuz from Wildin' Out. He good. This bitch-ass nigga hilarious. He called me a bitch-ass nigga.
You got to swallow that up.
Yeah, I took all of that. Yeah. Took a picture with the niggas and shit. Shit, after that, it was cool. Yeah. They started sending me with my kids. They were like, keep staying in their life, cuz. They need you. Long as you got them kids, he doing some shit.
You are right. If they not scared.
I leave that nigga alone. That nigga father. Nigga, you know how daddy ain't around.
For real, nigga. Like, for real.
They got a soft spot for niggas trying to do right.
They really daughters. Do, man. That's like the little boy the other day. I was looking at with little Miss Richardson, who she didn't even get picked for the 4x1. But long of a short. They said back in our day, our drug dealers wouldn't even gave her no weed. They'd have been like, nah, shorty, ain't you in the Olympics? No, not Olympics. Ain't you in the Olympics?
Man, you can't be fucking with that shit, Shikari, man. God damn, come on, man.
Yeah, man.
I ain't gonna lie to you. Shikari looked like her pussy A1. I mean, like, I'm gonna say this.
How did I get into this conversation?
How you go here?
Yeah, like, nigga, do you see how she run? That pussy A1, bro. Ain't no way she got that much swag. She that fast. She can fight. She probably a fool on the dick and got niggas is just. Shikari, wherever you at, baby, fuck them Olympics. We can
not
watch
Olympics,
them.
Man. It's Olympics.
Olympics, nigga.
Yeah, the Olympics.
So how you get fucked up with Suge? Because I got a Suge. What happened? What year? What happened?
Well, he was in Miami, and it was on How Can I Be Down. How Can I Be Down was a conference we used to have before you spooks tore it up fighting. But anyway, Miami was the spot. And Death Row really took care of their street teams. And I was doing street team work for Death Row. And at the time, I was about 60 pounds heavier, stone cold bald, beard. So, you know, of course, at that point, they thought every bright, bald dude looked like Suge. You know, oh, he looked like Suge Knight. Oh, he looked like Suge Knight. So I'm walking down Collins by myself. I'm on the Death Row street team. I'm on Collins Boulevard.
Shout out to Mint. It's a small club
on
Collins.
Yes, dope. And what's the one that don't have no roof on it?
You talking about...
what is it?
Clevelander.
Yeah, don't have no roof on it. Yeah. Man, so I'm walking down Collins. It's hot. Everybody else, Red Man and them, they on scooters. They tearing Miami Beach up. That's when I realized Miami South Beach is for the tourists. Real niggas don't go to Miami. They don't go to the beach because they know we're not welcome over there. But at the time, you can't be playing with their tourist money. This is right after Pac got killed. So it was 96. So we at How Can I Be Down? And all of a sudden, I'm just walking. And I hear, you know, you hear all kind of cars, but this dude was in a drop top Testarossa. I look around, and it's Suge. And I was just like, what up, cuz? And he was like, hey, come here. So I'm just like, all right, you know, I'm chilling. I work for Death Row, but I don't know Suge. I'm dealing with Kevin Black, Savalas Holloway, and Ian Fletcher. Ian, he from Pasadena as well. So they on the street team for Death Row. And he was like, hey, man, you know, Hey, youngster, you better get back to the hotel, man. You know they think I killed Pac, so you know they say you look like me. I finally found you down here. He was like, well, you know, yeah. So just be careful down here. And he just kind of chuckled. Big stogie in his hand, in the Ferrari, flamed up, jewelry everywhere. And I was like, man, I work for you. He looked at me. He said, what you mean? I said, I work for you, man. I said, you give me a check every month. I'm on the Death Row Street Team. I'm in Houston. On the level. That's when I knew the nigga was smart. That nigga, all of the money that Suge paid, he remembered the street team company in Houston, Texas. So that's when I knew he was, you know, I didn't really know too much about Suge Bear at the time. I just knew he was a Blood. He stayed in Compton. He was affiliated with Bloods, but he was a hell of a football player. He was actually really good, but went to UNLV or whatever. So I just said, man, yeah, I work for you. I said, you give me a paycheck. He said, homie, let me talk to you. He pulled the car. Now, mind you, we was having this conversation in the middle of the street. Traffic, not nary horn was blowing. Ain't nobody blowing no horns. They coming around him. And, you know, usually they want to ask for an autograph. But, you know, people scared of Suge. Suge was a big ass. So you took two big ass dudes in the middle of Collins. We got traffic blocked. He pulls over. He's like, man, let me holler at you, homie. And I said, yeah, man. I said, I'm from the crib. He said, I picked up on the lingo. He said, but, man, let me tell you something, man. You know what a paycheck is? He said, I don't ever want to hear you say that no more. I said, yeah, I know what a paycheck is. You give me a paycheck every month. He said, nah, homie. A paycheck is exactly what it says it is. Somebody's paying you to stay in check. And I was like, damn. He said, homie, when I go to these white people, I got a company. I provide a service. They want my services. They can't make the money without me. Not as much as I make for them. He says, you know, my first year in inception, you know, we generated $1 billion. I'm looking at this nigga, my mind is blown back now. Because you hear the stories of Suge, you hear the mystery, but you don't really understand. Like, this dude, he had to be smart to run Death Row for as long as it was, but he just couldn't get away from the bullshit from the streets. He said, hey, homie, I provide a service. You do the same thing every month. Don't you send me an invoice? And I was like, yeah. He said, don't I pay your company? He said, I said, yeah. He said, you're an independent businessman. You provide a service. I couldn't do it without you. So don't you ever let nobody give you a paycheck, because they'll always be able to pay you to stay in check. And he was like, I'm going to see you at the party tonight, huh? He said, I got a robe for you. I said, I got a robe for you? I know what it was. So that night, of course, now my chest out. You know, this nigga should have came over here and messed with the homie. You know, he messed with me. He's blood, nigga. You know, I'm talking shit under my breath. It's so slob, nigga, you know. But, you know, they got Crips on the label, so it's all good. And shout out to my homeboy Boulevard. He from Photos too. Him and Battle Cat was partners. And Boulevard used to go hang in the Death Row Studios, but Boulevard was always strapped. He did 14 on the bid for bank robbing. Like, Boulevard, he's the DJ for the Undisputed Motorcycle Club in L.A. now. All of the gang shit is just, it's out the window. Niggas is making money now because it's Bloods and Crips and Undisputed. But long over short, that night we went over to the pool party. We go to Star Island. Star Island is the spot that you go to.
Oprah, Puffy, all them got houses on Star Island.
So before Airbnb, you just have to find somebody who will get you up. Correct. Shit. Suge had a big ass condo. I mean, it wasn't even a condo. It was a house, but it was immaculate. Mind you, this is 96. They had shit in there that I didn't even know what it was at the time, bro. So when I get to the door, he saw me and he smiled. And he had this robe in this package. He said, put the robe on, homie. I was like, you know, then I'm thinking, I said, there's some free shit going on. This nigga want me to take off my clothes. Like, so I'm not knowing. So I put the robe on. The robe was instant access. This nigga had hired the girls who danced for Luke, flew strippers in from all over the country. And I ain't talking about the regular strippers. You know, you've been to Miami, man. Them strippers are 6'1", 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah.
Built like Megan. They was built like that before, you know, plastic surgery, before Dr. Miami. And it was pure hedonism. So if you had a robe on, you get what you wanted.
Yeah.
But it was only a limited number of robes.
Oh, so you acting a fool in this goddamn robe. How much DNA is on this robe?
but this is the deal. So it was so much that niggas was getting taking their robes off and giving them to the other cats that was on the street team. It was street team dudes in there and it was DJs in there. But Suge had it set up to where he took care of the street team first. So we was in there, boy, you heard boys in there screaming, boys in there clenching up the sheets with their booty cheeks. Coming out, you know, these girls out there, they running them. I'm talking about elbows and booty holes. It was terrible, but it was a good terrible though. And if you go to Miami during that time, you would mess around and lose focus and fall in love with a stripper, my nigga. Like, it was horrible. So by the time I got ready to get out, I just decided to be the businessman. I was like, shit, I'll give y'all the robe, but shit, who got 100? Mm-hmm. So I started. I sold my robe for like 3. And after that, I left. So you mind you have all type of illicit activity, pleasurable illicit activity with the robe. I done made some money, and then here's the kicker. Suge is passing out plaques at that hole.
Oh, for real?
Oh, nigga, like, one thing about Suge, he took care of cats because he made sure that the street team, if it was a big-ass Death Row plaque, everybody got one. That's like, the whole, he took care of the street team before he took care of the DJs, and that's how Suge, and then, small fun fact, I was only like the second or third person in the country who was able to work for Death Row and Bad Boy at the same time. That was a problem. Like, you know, I had to keep that separate because my thing was, when they came to me, I was like, nigga, I don't tell y'all who to put out. Y'all put out Rage, Corrupt, Dre, Snoop, Dog Pound. How you gonna tell me not to work for Bad Boy? Suge was actually paying cats, but Death Row was paying cats double so they wouldn't work for Bad Boy. It was crazy.
That's nuts.
And so that's one of my Suge stories, bro.
I wish my Suge story had so much like goodwill in the end of it. I wish that I could say that, you know, my story was that.
It's not. The year's 2006. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada. It is All-Star Weekend. I need y'all to understand the high that we on from Houston. On 304, we had Super Bowl. So I think, in our mind, Houston niggas are starting to get this on the map.
Mm-hmm.
All-Star Game is down there. Super Bowl in 06, man. Like, it's so much shit. Like, that was a pivotal year for Houston music because that was the time when people came down for Super Bowl. I mean, the following year for Super Bowl, where it was just like, bruh, niggas left with all our music. So by 06 All-Star Game in Las Vegas, like, all of the artists out of Houston that pop, Slim, you know, LaToya Luggett, Paul Wall, Mike Jones was out heavier, but like not just in the way we knew him, like mainstream.
Yep.
Flipping T.I. was beefing. So all this shit is happening around this time. I'm working for Johnny Dang, and a lot of niggas don't know. I'm doing video for Johnny. Like, now at the time, working for Johnny is Junior Martins, who you might know from A-Life that do parties and shit. Me and Junior got cool. Well, it was an infamous not get cool, but it was a get cool in college. Junior a Q, I'm a capital. So Junior, he went to Austin out in Fort Bend. I went to Hightower. So I knew the nigga when we played football and his brother. His brother's huge too. Both them niggas like 6'6".
Yeah, them six big dudes, bro.
But here's the thing. It was only two of them niggas. And we had some young apes at the time in our chapter. John, we get blue. So,
TSU, right?
Bruh, being a capital dog where you wear suits and shit, we was the worst bad attitude. We beat up niggas from other schools, other capitals, slapping niggas. We thought that, hey! Hey, knock it off up there. I can hear y'all. Yeah. You thought that was going to stop? Daddy shit still happening down here. So, bruh, like, during this time, dog, I got cool with Junior, nigga. I threw that nigga life. I broke a bottle one night. I was like, nigga, I will stab you with this bottle. You think I'm going to take this L from you or your brother? Y'all hopping around this party? Y'all going to stop this shit. So I ended up getting cool with Johnny. Johnny had flew me out to Vegas. I'm with him all day. We go to a Nelly video shoot. Jermaine Dupri there. I mean, everybody, nigga. It's live. I'm the video nigga. I'm getting pictures. I'm all that shit. I'm on MySpace. My MySpace is on fire, nigga.
Time, nigga.
Nigga, it's that time. Now I'm videoing, nigga. I'm with Paul, nigga. He done gave me some chains and some jewelry and shit.
Oh, you trying to get some jewelry?
Yeah, he tried to give me a bunch of jewelry. I lost all this shit. My baby mama got mad at me. Yeah, man, they want to pay my storage. Man, motherfucker, man. It's a whole new story.
Oh, nigga.
Yeah, man, you know, that's how they get you. Damn,
nigga came up, boy. Storage warfare, nigga.
Man, I was hurt, nigga. Johnny made me my first, like, real grill. And Harvey and T. Ferris was there when I got my shit. Because that was when I first seen niggas get all diamonds in their mouth and no grill. It was just straight diamonds. I had gold with, like, little diamonds on the side. I didn't give a fuck. I'm happy, nigga. I got me a watch. I'm videoing. I'm in MGM. I got a room. Johnny, niggas don't know this. I don't give a fuck. Johnny full of dope. I'm going to let you know that right now.
Oh, yeah.
X pills, cocaine.
Hello, baby.
You think it's not going to come out? Today it's coming out, nigga. Full of power. Who's the only nigga that's doing drugs in this high amount? Billy Surreals. So, Johnny, what you want? X pills? Yeah, give it my 9-1. I was like, all right. So this nigga gone. Johnny is trying to keep Tila Tequila. I don't know if you know who this is from Rick. Tila Tequila last. Now, he was like, you can fuck. You fuck right now. You fuck. Ain't no problem. I was like, Johnny, why are you yelling? This nigga been on pills and cocaine for 2 days. You fuck Tila. It's no problem. I pay money. You fuck. I'm like, Johnny, I'm not trying to fuck that lady. But Tila is being all extra flirty and nice and shit. And I said, I kept saying, like, anytime she come out, did she see Johnny's food?
Look at Junior. I said, you smell that? I don't know what you're talking about. So, nigga, she sat in this chair.
Ooh, she had fish sticks?
Man, let me tell you something.
Cooter bang terrible. How you that fine of your cooter bang stink?
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. That woman got up out that chair, and that chair still had a person sitting in it, motherfucker. I said, hell no. Why don't you just come back to my room and we can party? Bitch, no.
We need some Clorox, motherfucker.
We need to call Ghostbusters around this bitch. This is what we need to call. So we go to Palms. We got two things to do. Puffy got a party at the Palms. Now mind you, Puffy got a party at the Palms in Las Vegas. Go in the party in the gift shop area in the top of the Palms where they're having his party at. Suge is there. He's going to go give Suge his watch that he made for him.
Puffy? Oh, no, Johnny.
Johnny.
Ooh, so, at Puffy party?
I don't give a fuck. Oh, the thing about it is, yeah. This time, this 06, nigga. Yeah. Ain't no operation in Vegas without that's, nigga, you know what this is. So I'm standing there, I'm recording shit. Boom. He was like, hey, man, tell your cameraman. Suge, tell your cameraman, cut the camera off, because I'm about to smoke, but I don't want him to catch me on camera smoking. Now, I used to smoke cigars, but at this time, weed's all type of shit going on.
Yeah.
I ain't tripping. Turn the camera off. I'm looking around trying to see. I see Puffy. These niggas standing on top of the stage. It's going down in this bitch.
So you pop the camera out?
Nah, I ain't. I'm just looking.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I see a bunch of little red bandana shoes start to circle me up. And I'm trying to figure out where are all these niggas going. It's a lot of. I look up. Suge said, I thought I told you to cut the goddamn camera off. You think I'm a fuck nigga, huh? I said, you can't be talking to me. I look back, niggas, nobody over here. This nigga's talking to me. Paul Walden walked off of me. And
I think they left you.
Johnny, this nigga. I said, Johnny, hey. So now, man, I wasn't recording. I said my light was on because at the time, the cameras that got the light on top of it, you can't just turn. You can turn it off, but the light is on. Don't mean I'm recording. Yeah, nigga, you got the light on. And so I'm panicking. I'm like, nigga, this is the nigga that killed Tupac in my mind. I'm in Vegas, nigga. I'm dead. So I'm thinking to myself, I gotta hit this nigga with this camera. And then I'm gonna run. Man, them blood niggas was everywhere, bruh. And I felt somebody grab me. And I'm like, oh, nigga, it's over. Because the nigga done choked me from the back. Big Samoan bodyguard named Ra. He grabbed me and picked me up. Shook, he didn't know, bro. He didn't know. And he's grabbing me and running with me. Like, I'm like this, I got the camera.
Nigga running with you like a football.
Yeah, so he pushed me, like running with me, so I'm thinking, these niggas finna Orlando Brown me, they finna stomp me out, like Death Row style, in the goddamn hotel. And so he puts me down right at the door, and he says, go. And I keep feeling him push me. I'm like, nigga, I'm already outside. I see the car, I'm about to get in. Nigga, what I don't realize is
them bud niggas is behind him.
They behind, they yep. Pin his ass up trying to get to me.
That's a good bodyguard.
Hey man, the nigga pushed me in the car, closed the door, and all I seen was that nigga right there pushing niggas back, and nigga, the car speeds off.
But that Samoan nigga was big.
Let me tell you something.
He was probably like them niggas from the Booyah tribe big.
Bruh, mm-hmm. All the tribal shit, he grabs me.
Oh, here the Booyah tribe.
Bruh. These niggas, the Rock, nigga. This thing, like, yeah. He's huge. And I didn't understand, like, I learned a lot that day about bodyguards and security.
Big difference.
Okay. There's a difference between bodyguards and security. He's bodyguards. A bodyguard.
Yeah, he's giving up his life.
Junior 6'8", he in the car. I said, where your big ass was at, nigga?
Man, bro, I didn't know what was going on. Johnny was like, man, fuck you, Junior, man. You left me out here with these niggas, man. So I'm hot. I want to fight Junior in this car.
So we rolling
up. Oh, I got a T.O. story for you.
Tila Tequila in the car. Oh, baby, we can just party. It's okay. I'm like, man, bitch, fuck you.
And your coochie stuff.
Yeah, nigga, I'm hot. I'm A1 hot. I'm mad. I say, man, I want to go nowhere else with you, Johnny. I don't want to go. I want to go back to my room. Take me back to my room. Fuck this shit. So,
Johnny like, calm down. Why you quiet? Why you whining? Why you quiet? Why you whining? Yeah,
dope.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
dope.
Like, nigga, I want to punch this nigga in the face, dog.
You can't sack the quarterback, cuz.
Nah, bro, this nigga, he got two almost $3 million worth of diamonds with him. Yeah. And jury. So, this other Samoan dude is driving, and they got another Samoan dude that's in the front in this car. He said, we got to go one more place. We got to go to the Sands. Sands is gone.
It's no longer there. But Jermaine Dupri, Nelly, had a pajama party there.
Ooh, I know it was crunk.
All right. So out on the street, we slowed the car down, got out.
Walked up.
And we started walking toward the sands. Rick Ross is out there. Rick Ross, this is Every Day I'm Hustling, Rick Ross, 06. I mean, I seen the nigga before. I fuck with the music. I'm aware of what's going on. But I'm not registering, like, how he's, like, who he is and how he's tied in. So security at the party starts clowning this nigga. Like, he like, yeah, I'm Ross. I'm finna walk. He's there trying to walk in. And he only got, like, two people with him. And he was like, nah, man, you ain't on the list, man. I don't give a fuck who the fuck you is, nigga. This, hey, they start talking fly. These niggas on the earpiece, suits and shit. Security. Nigga Ross said, okay, all right, I'll be back. I ain't think shit else about that. We get into the party. I get to the stage. He get Jermaine Dupri this necklace he made, a so-so deaf piece. It's probably like a $400,000 piece, but it's a so-so deaf man. Huge. All these diamonds. And this is when I'm first seeing multicolor like stones and shit. And so I'm telling nigga Johnny, so you gave him this nigga all these blood diamonds, huh? So Junior, you gonna sit up here? You the key, huh? You took them back to your motherland and let them get all the blood diamonds. I'm ripping them niggas apart. Man, Billy, man, that's not everything in a blood diamond. Well, where y'all get the diamonds from, nigga? Y'all keep going to Africa. Where y'all getting this paperwork? Where the paperwork at? Oh, man, Billy, get to knock this shit off. So I'm on my halfway conscious shit. I ain't giving a fuck. So I recorded and getting the piece and chain, and I see Nelly, and I'm like, man, my battery getting low. I need to go back to the car and go get my bag. I need another set of batteries so I can record the rest of the party. Now, they got bitches in lingerie, everybody. They turned up, ball players in there. I seen Dion. Dion's in that bitch. Chad Ochocinco, he in there. Bunch of like random stars and shit. I'm in the hallway, right when I come out security. I'm standing there. I go get the bag. Keelan Farouk is there. Keelan, shout out to Keelan. Mr. Indian Hair, we with Exotic Pop. He done grabbed the bag out the car.
Oh, Keelan, okay.
So Keelan gives me my battery. I flip my new battery on, and right then, I seen the door pop open. Boo! Down the hallway comes Ross. But behind him, he got about 10 niggas.
Miami niggas.
Cut out shirts.
Miami niggas.
Gloves. Miami. With the fingers cut out.
Yes.
And them niggas walking. I saw the niggas say he'd be back. I see one of the security dudes. Hey, man, you gotta have a wristband. Beep! Threw him out the way. These niggas go to the table, flip the table over. They just start whooping all the security guards. All you start seeing niggas in earpiece getting dumped, beat up. They beating up everybody in the way. They push the bitch down. They don't give a fuck. The publisher's bitch, poop, out the way, nigga. These niggas start going through the party and nigga.
Everybody's security, they tearing their ass.
Tell you what's on. It's getting hot in here. I'll take off all your clothes, bitch. I am getting so hot. That's all. I wanna take my clothes. Niggas, hey nigga, it's, and then the nigga on the record, Tigger. Tigger was like, hey, hey, man, we're gonna slow this thing down, man. Y'all getting a little too rough out there. Hey, all I know after that, I see the nigga Ross grab the mic. Yo, it's the biggest boss, Ricky Ross, and here, Roger. Shout out to McCarroll City Cartel. We in the building. Hey nigga, and the whole party was Ross. Nigga. He's standing there, he put his arm around Jermaine Dupri. Because Jermaine Dupri's bodyguards, it was there.
I want to let you know, just like Miami, Las Vegas is my city. You know what I'm saying? It's my second home. I want to show love to you. They want to let me in. But you know, Miami niggas, we always going to find a way.
And nigga, them niggas tossed that party up. And it was the most uncomfortable thing. Because I could see Nelly was looking like, he a St. Louis nigga. But he kind of like, these niggas done tossed the whole party up.
And Nelly ain't no little dude. A lot of people think Nelly is small. Nelly is actually Cock Diesel. Like, the nigga is, right. He ain't no short nigga either.
Bruh, them niggas took over their whole party. And it seemed like we had transported ourselves to Miami, nigga. And that was the day I learned the difference between security and bodyguards.
Picture this, man. I'm literally in Dallas, right? Working for Capital at the time. Chingy. Tyrese song, every now and then, make you feel it, be back.
Him and Jason Weaver on that.
So, man, look, number one video, number one song in the country. Terrell Owens still playing for Dallas at the time. He might not have been playing. I think he was on there for some celebrity stuff. T.O. is goddamn, bro, he a little baby Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, he a Lou Ferrigno?
Oh, no, that nigga is cut up and he cock strong, homie.
Hold on. We got more Did You Miss Me podcast coming your way.
Yeah, I
got
to tell this to T.O.
Coming back, we got to give it to you. We're going to get a special story in here, a T.O. story with my boy Lump. Don't go
and
nowhere.
T.O. and Chingy.
We'll be right back right after this.
And we back up in this thing once again. Did You Miss Me podcast? Best storytelling podcast in the world. It's your boy, Billy Sorrells. We've been here for season four in 4K. Look, joining me today, man, if you've been watching so far, photos. Man, hey, yeah, this boy here.
Photos K.
Hey, man, I'm not getting into this with you. The Magical Blue Laces episode. Hey, man, today's episode is brought to you by good friends over, man, at Manscaped. They have the new Shears male clipper. Let me tell you something about this. Guys.
That's all.
If you want these ladies to go downtown and give you that good pleasure that you need.
Let's go.
If you want to stand out, go on and trim that thing up with the new trimmer, man. The Shears, man. Let me tell you something. Stuns out, bums out, and hopefully the pubes are not out. So it's flip-flop season is upon us. You want to make sure that you got the post-pandemic toenails together. So you got to clip your toenails. You got to make sure you groomed all the way up. Our Shears kit is going to give it all for you, bruh. Listen, don't worry. They got you covered. They just launched a fourth generation performance package for their Shears 2.0 nail grooming kit. Listen, man, they get your cuticles together. You can't go running your hands and your fingers on these women if your manicure ain't together, cuz. So make sure you ain't got no hangnails. Your nails is clean. Your hands is clean and sanitized before you go touching on these beautiful ass women out here. I'm going to say this, bro. The Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. Like, this trimmer got a light on it. You can get all in them hard-to-reach places you could never get.
That you
got a guard.
See.
If you don't want to go straight bald, you can go, like, close to it. Get your little turf. Let your gal use it. Let her just go there. You know, clip her up. Say, baby, let me go and do you real quick.
Ooh.
Pull them lips over. Huh? Oh, the headlight, bro. It's got a light on it. So, boom. You can just... I mean, I'll be honest with you. Of the vaginas that I've shaved in my lifetime, the appreciation level is high, especially. No hair, bro. Get the hair out of the way. Just think about it. Do you want to put your mouth where a bunch of hair is and get hair in your mouth?
Yeah, wherever there's hair, there's sweat.
Yeah. Some of you ain't got to worry about. Never mind. Real I ain't even going to that.
Meet the meat, baby.
But listen, man, over there. At Manscaped, they got some great stuff for us, man. You can get that package today. Why don't you go over there and get 20% off free shipping with the code DYMM. That's free shipping with the code DYMM at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping. Use the code DYMM at manscaped.com and tame that summer swamp in your pants with Manscaped. Proud supporters of the Did You Miss Me podcast, and we jumping back up to it.
I need one of them little kids, cuz. A Manscaped.
All right, count me back in. 3, 2, 1. Back in here once again, man, joining me, Lump Man, and oh, you was about God. To tell us a T.O. story.
Hey, man.
Uh-oh, wait,
East St. Louis just came all the way out, man.
What'd she say?
She was talking about Manscaped. She was just like freckles, bumps. I'm. You know what? I'm going to leave that alone. I just made the comment that with the manscaping. Everybody was like, I said meet the meat. Everybody's like, ooh. Time out. After 2 months, y'all meet the meat. I don't want to hear that shit. Let's get
they
out
meet
here,
the meat, man. On the first day. You can always tell when they want you to meet the meat. And condoms break me out. I get allergic.
I'm allergic.
I move this shit out of the way.
Yeah, whatever. Cancel Christmas.
I forgot that was a thing. Nigga, I was married for so long. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Gotta keep condoms again, cuz? You better who are you?
They got some shit out here now to just blow your ding-a-ling off.
Hey, thing, man. If I got to do all that, I ain't fucking with you.
That's how you know you're an OG. That makes a ding-a-ling.
I'm trying to be cool in front of y'all. These women are so tough.
These are... Hey, they are Houston women here.
Hey, man, it's going to always be cool to bang, and it's going to always be me.
Hey,
meet the meat.
That's funny. Cuda bang and me. Houston, hey man, Houston girls will make you feel like you lame as shit. Oh, this bitch ass nigga want to put a condom on like a bitch got some.
That shit is terrible.
You be worrying about the bitch you out here living with. I'm like,
man, look here. Have a couple of kids. You'll look for that plastic. You look for saran wrap, nigga. Like real shit. Have some kids. Yeah.
I'm on my Nick Cannon shit right now.
Yeah, they don't want to talk about that. Hey, look, guess what? Okay, back to my T.O. story with T.O. and Chingy. I'm working for Capitol. Chingy's record, Bringing Me Back, is number one. It's a smash. Chingy's doing his thing. You know, Chingy now got platinum credit cards. It's not with Luda. He's with Capitol. So I always have to take these cats on their promo tours. So on the promo tours, depending on what kind of act you are, that depends like on my budget, like where I can stay. But after you've been there for a while, you know, you don't have to stay. Put it like this, the new cast, their budget's a zero. So you have to stay in kind of like raggedy hotel, not raggedy, but not the best of hotels. But with Chingy, you know, you sort of put a couple of platinum records. You know, you in the best of the best for the hotel.
Courtesy of the company, yeah.
Courtesy of the company, we're going to double charge everybody. Faith might get Chingy Bill. Shit, Van Hunt might get Chingy Bill. I swear, that's a whole nother podcast. But so we go to this club. We perform for Skip Cheatham, KKDA. They got
Shout out
show.
My nigga Skip Cheatham, man. Skip Cheatham was really dope, man, because when I was on radio in the morning, Hustle, man, and he came over and sat with me, bro. Me, him, and Tammy Honesty, bro, the program director over there, 97.9 The Beat. And Skip was one of the first niggas to make $1 million.
A lot of people don't understand that.
Niggas don't know. This nigga was making $1 million.
On the radio.
Producing a morning radio show. Yep. Producing that. $1 million a year.
He's D.L. Hughley's morning show producer. And his sidekick, Jasmine Sanders, who's on there, she was Julia Jones's assistant at Capitol. She's from Tennessee.
Yeah.
So Jasmine and I are cool. So long over short, man. Chingy's performing for KKDA. That's what Skip was still on. Regular radio before he started doing D.L. Hughley. So we at the, you know, everything is everything. T.O. is there for whatever reason. T.O.'s in the back of the club, cool section, the Dallas's VIP section. But we got to get from the front. This is one of them older clubs, so they didn't have no back entrance for us to get in.
Yeah.
I'm 6'3", and of course, you know, I was about 60 pounds heavier, so I'm really looking like security. I ain't looking like the promo, man. I'm not looking like the cat who gets the record played on the radio. Always happens. My size always makes me promo / bodyguard. Even though they had a bodyguard, the actor stand next to me because I'm in with the program director. I'm usually in with the club owner. I'm cool with the DJ. So these artists now understand that you got to make your own relationships with these people. So Chingy's close. Chingy got a big old bodyguard. He from St. Louis. Big old black nigga, too. That nigga so black, he sweat M&Ms. Big old black motherfucker. He's country is his name. Yeah, man, you know, if something happened to Chang, man, you know, we going to fight, man. We going to, you know, we going to get him. This big old nigga is big for no reason.
What happened?
We going into the club, right? So we going into the club, and they playing right there. You know, Chingy come, oh, we got Chingy. Capitol Record artist, Chingy. Yeah, Chingy in there. You know, Chingy a tall nigga. He ain't no little dude neither. But Chingy skinny as hell. So country behind Chingy. And it's like all of a sudden, I don't know if it was me or I don't know how it happened, but it was almost like it was set up for this. You heard the music kind of stop when the DJ was talking, but in between him talking, I heard, whew, I see the spit. It's coming to Chingy. I push Chingy out the way. I'm looking at country. I'm looking at Chingy. And this spit, is it like, nigga, this is really happening. Real talk, slow motion. The spit coming. Now, the one thing you can't do after the age of 1 year old is spit on me. I don't care. That right there, everybody get the same ass whooping. Old people, girls, your mom, whomever. Spitting on me means that you have literally took the insides of your bowels, hocked from the bottom of your intestines, and you hucked it up and you hit it. And Dr. Sebi told me that mucus is the only disease in the body. So, nigga, I'm thinking all of this shit as the spit is coming towards me. So, you know me. I'm South Central's finest. I didn't channel my inner photos gangster crip. So, at this point, I didn't turn into goddamn, I didn't turn into the Incredible Hulk. But I'm forgetting that I'm with my act. But you have muscle memory. Somebody in the club try to spit on you, homie. It's all in your mouth. Like, I'm trying to get you everything I got. Man, I seen this fool slug the yeah, nigga. We don't give a fuck. Come to find out, last go around, Chingy didn't knock down his girl.
Ah. So the nigga done got front row at the party just to say something to this nigga.
Dog, not say something. That nigga spit. He wasn't no little nigga. I don't give a damn who was with him that day. I came through there. You know how Steven Seagal be by himself and be whooping everybody in the section? Here go Lump. I look back, Billy. Guess what country doing?
What are you doing?
Trying to put on the motherfucking Nike gloves. He trying to put the gloves on to fight. Dog.
When I tell you, man.
Got too much equipment.
And then look. So we get over there, Chief say, hey, man, thank you, man, because that show would have been a bad looking nigga, would have just spit on the nigga. I said, yeah, man, where's your punk ass bodyguard at? Man, Lump, I was back there trying to. You weren't trying to do nothing, dog. You are, again, you're supposed to be a bodyguard, but like the other story, nigga, you really just security.
You really just security.
So, nigga, we get back to the back. My UTO is standing on the couch smiling. This nigga look like he got a mouthful of chiclets. This nigga just sit right here. That nigga's black, too. So he's smiling. He got on a little shirt. You know, this nigga still cock diesel as hell. Got his buttons all on. But you know them old niggas, how they button. They got one button right here, and the rest of that shit is open. So he was like, hey, dog, I like you, nigga. You was ready. He said, boy, you hit that nigga right there so hard. I bet you his car started outside. He was like, come on over here, get you something to drink. He said, Chink, everything gonna be. That nigga Chink, he said, nigga, everything was supposed to be on you anyway.
So yeah, you hear that
we in there, and the whole time, Chink, he's sitting, now my UTO is on the couch. So, like, right here, where our friends are, his feet are in the couch, but his butt is on the back of the couch.
Yeah.
He's just sitting there. So this nigga is really sitting there looking at us front row, looking at me for the rest of the night. And this nigga's strong. Big dog, you got them niggas, man. I was like, hey, dog, if you hit me one more time.
One more time.
But real talk, that's when you find out, like, seriously, how artists have to deal with so much stuff. And you wonder why they have bad attitudes sometimes. But stuff like that happens to him. I just had him on one stop on the tour. And the bigger you get, the bigger your problems get. Case in point. More money, more problems. My partner, may he rest in peace, Daryl Jacobs, a.k.a. Big D. He's the godfather of promotions in the South.
Bruh, it was my role, man.
That was my nigga. And Billy knows, you know, Big D. It's kind of like I met Billy. I tell everybody about Billy because Billy's funny as hell. And he's talented as hell. So Big D was kind of like big brother to him. He's big brother to me.
You know, yeah. You know what's crazy about Big D is Big D, we end up getting cool because Lump, when you cool with Lump, you kind of get passed on to his friends. They all kind of, you know, adopt you.
Yeah.
That's what they tell you they're going to adopt you.
Bird, Big D,
and Wes. Wes was managing Jay Holiday.
Yeah.
And he was managing a young Wale.
Yep.
Now, niggas in the South hadn't really got on Wale like that.
And Idris Elba, bodyguard. He was bodyguarding Idris Elba.
So Wes looked like, if I take my hat off, you would think me and Wes was brothers,
yep.
But this nigga's just a size and a half bigger than this nigga with curly hair, light skin. You think he was a capital, but this nigga huge. And he from these, like.
And the nigga played basketball, so his feet. I don't know if you know anything about it, but if you personal protection bodyguard fighting, your feet are what's important. He had great feet. This nigga could fight. Oh, he was a knockout.
What was you and D at when y'all got into a fight? So because that's why I rolled.
Oh, me and Big D. This is when I very first started, and my partner, my best friend, one of my best friends. His name is Charles Temple. Charles Temple is the guy who owned Big Boy Records. He was Big Boy. If you don't know Charles Temple, you do know him. He had Mystical. He had Black Menace. Partners in Crime, The Ghetto Twins, Fiend, Tim Smooth, G Slim. Rest in peace to G Slim.
And y'all niggas got out there and got to fighting one night.
Nigga, we at the BRE convention in Atlanta. BET recorded this. Black Radio Exclusive is a convention. Black Radio Exclusive, like all these conventions where all the artists went, showcased where all of the art, where all of the labels were showcasing new talent. And then the labels, like Mystical was on Jive at the time and Big Boy. And if you don't know Big Boy Records, you do know Pump the Party from Partners in Crime.
Yeah, Pump the Party.
Yeah, like.
So y'all niggas out there and Big D working the records with y'all. How did y'all get into it with the niggas?
Well, what happened was, them other niggas from New York, they had the boot camp clique.
Yeah.
Buckshot LaFont, all of them old school New York niggas be sound like they got trash can beats beating on trash cans and shit for their beats. And they had booters, they had boot camp clique and they had Partners in Crime. So they thought that we were swagger jacking. They didn't understand Louisiana shaped like the boot. Yeah. That's why they called it the Boot Camp Clique. Right. Partners in Crime. They were a bounce group. These niggas is literally, like, nigga, writing letters to the office. Literally writing letters to the office, telling us they was going to see us when we got to the convention. So Chuck didn't go, but Precise went. Precise is the dude who did all the beats for Mystical, married one of the Ghetto Twins. He's one of the pioneers of hip-hop in New Orleans, him and KLC or whatever. But long over short, Paris from the West Coast, he's a producer. He's telling Precise, hey, man, be careful. They got plans to get y'all. I was like, get who? Who they gonna get? I'm like, I'm looking over my shoulder. Who you gonna get? So Big Deep, they gave us these Big Boy Records jackets. And that's when the jackets from the labels was big. You know, like, that was a big thing to have. So you got Big D on one side of the stage at the Jive Showcase, and we on the other side. Little did they know who's behind the stage. You got Keith Murray and them performing, and Tim Smooth was talking shit. Yo, Keith Murray, I'll bust your ass like freestyling, you know, because Tim Smooth was a shit. So back behind us, though, was Mean Green and the Click. I'm cool with 40. I'm cool with D-Shot. I'm cool with Bela. Would be legit. If you know E-40, you know D-Shot, you know be legit. And E-40's bodyguard, Omar, they made me look small then. So mind you, we on stage, Mystical is doing a record. I'm out that boot camp Click. I'm out that boot camp Click. These niggas come to the front of the stage. Fat Boy, Dr. Dre, from Dr. Dre and Ed Lover.
Yeah.
He's the DJ at the showcase. So he's looking through the crowd. He's got the mic. Sice is on the turntables. He mixing it and scratching it in. Yo, left. Them niggas, Buckshot, LaFont, Smith and Wesson was the dudes, them two dudes from that rap group. They start coming up to, don't do the song, money. Y'all false, homie. He didn't say we was fake. That nigga said we was false.
False? Like,
nigga.
Like true or false, nigga?
So we sitting on the stage, again. We on the stage, and the stage ain't too much bigger than this, and you got all these acts on the stage. Mystical back there. The Ghetto Twins is behind us. So when the music stop and the lights kind of come up, I look around, the Ghetto Twins got their switchblades out.
The girls?
Shit. They used to be signed to Eazy-E. They used to be called the Wonder Twins. So the dude tried to get on stage. Why did he do that? He went to Big D side. Mind you, BET is filming all this. This shit was on BET. This is a true story. I don't know what he was thinking about. D was light on his feet. Big old nigga. At that time, you got to figure this is 98, whatever that was. He tackled the nigga and the nigga just folded up like a chair. I come from the other side. Mind you, I'm not too far from graduating from college. I'm not too far from a gangbanger mentality. So I run from one side of the stage and I jump in the air and I get that nigga all his elbow.
You niggas is brawling at the BET.
We brawling at the BRE.
Yeah.
I knocked all of this shit loose. Yeah, then the other nigga came, hit him in his throat, left hand. Bing! He can't breathe. So Busta Rhymes, he cool with them at this time. I don't know nothing about Busta. All I know is, nigga, you get ready to come up here, you got to bring a whole lot, cuz. We beat the shit out of them niggas.
And it's crazy. You niggas beat all these niggas' ass in some kind of way. You found your way to be a man of the Lord. That's... This nigga's a pastor up here.
But here's the deal. But here's the difference, though.
I need you to understand, like, as he's saying this, this nigga did my daddy eulogy at the funeral. It's like, this nigga right here. We've been talking to for the last hour.
No, it's crazy. But then look, here's E-40 and D-Shot.
We had your back, homie. We had your back.
Hey, man.
But yeah, it was different. We had fun with that, though. We beat them niggas up.
Man, like, you know, to even talk about this and say Blue Laces today, dog, definitely going to be a part two. Man, shout out to my boy Brick. So 2016, I started opening up trying to tell y'all about this shit. But I'm on a dream cruise. It's me, Nipsey Hussle, ASAP Rocky, ASAP Ferg, Young Migos. They've been out about 2 years. They've just had dropped Culture. Culture 1, Culture 2 was in the wind to come out. And man, Nipsey is on this boat. Now, we've been in L.A. all this time, so I know who Nipsey is. But to everybody else at the time, it's just like Slim Thug. Like, you go somewhere, they may not know who he is.
But they know he's somebody.
They know he's somebody.
Yeah.
Man, this nigga Nip took his shirt off. I'm on the boat. I got a pink shirt on, and I will show you niggas the picture. You will be superimposed in here. It's a bunch of niggas from Grape Street that's done teamed over with niggas from the neighborhood on this boat.
What?
Hey, bro, let me tell you something. This nigga had purple bandana from Grape Street.
Y'all don't understand the significance of Grape Street. Grape Street is like a derivative of Offset of like a Crip, but it's just Grape Street, and their tagline is anybody killer. So if you go to L.A. and you see some dudes in low riders, and they got California Raisins in their back window.
Leave them niggas alone.
I heard it through the grapevine. When they say that, That's some Grave Street shit. They don't give a damn if you Crip or if you Blood. If you play with Grave Street, they like Fifth Ward niggas. They're just different. They are very different, and they don't play no games. And they got respect all over the city. But let me tell you something. You talking about Looney and Loco? Mm-hmm. I know I got a couple of partners from Grave. I'm some different niggas. So for them to get along with RSC, with Neighborhood, like with Roller 60s, that's...
We on this boat, bro. And so we all in there. They like this nigga took a whole... Nip put a whole bit out of Patron and poured it on homie because it was his birthday. And bro, Brick was... Hey, man, we watching all this liquor fly. And I'm amazed. I've been standing with Amber Rose because at the time, me and Amber Rose was working on the show together. She was bringing back, like...
Slut walk thing?
Nah, bro. She had a whole new show that she was doing, like Love Talk Late Night, where they talk about sex and shit. It was nuts, dog. So she was like, hey, you know, we're going to bring you on. I auditioned for this part. Me and Duval both auditioned for this one role to get this part on the show. I beat the nigga out for this role. And so Amber Rose took me in her Lamborghini that week and rolled me to the goddamn comedy club. A couple nights came and seen my shows. So I'm wearing pink, like, she said, pink looks good on you, nigga. I got 3 pink shirts from Zara that week. Like, nigga, I'm pink everything. I got my bottom grill in. But on this boat, I'm standing here with Nip and all these Crip niggas from L.A. because we all caught the flight from L.A. to Miami together. So, man, we kicked it the whole weekend. And that was the only time I was like, nigga, I should have joined a set. Like, I missed it, dog.
Nigga, you
like,
don't get grown and join a set, nigga, no.
I was like, no, nigga, I missed out a part of my life. I felt that nigga's like, hey, well, I was like, nigga, you would have been a great Crip, cuz. I like all your energy, homie. So my wife took all my shoes out my bag because she was upset that I had to go do this show.
She took your shoes out your bag?
Yeah, so I packed my bag to go. I'm like, I got my bag packed.
She crippled
joy. She's about to go out there and just have fun. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about these bitches. I'm finna go out here and work the most this concert. Nigga, I get on the boat. It's no shoes in my bag. I got these flip-flops that I came with. And they like cloth flip-flops, so they didn't got messed up in the sand. So I said, fuck it. I'm finna go Eric Benet the whole rest of the boat ride. I take my shoes off. Hell, I'm barefoot. No. Don't give a fuck, nigga.
You barefoot.
On a boat.
With gang members.
Yes, nigga.
Ain't no way in here.
Hey, listen, bro. I'm outside having the time of my life on this boat, dog. And I got off the goddamn boat, went back, caught the flight back to L.A. in the airport. I'm barefoot, walking. I ain't got no shoes.
You don't catch hookworm, nigga.
I don't care, nigga. I think I got hookworm on the boat. So so I'm there walking, and I catch, you know, in L.A., I had to catch an Uber. And an Uber at the time, it was so expensive for you to catch it, like,
from right the airport.
So I would walk down and catch it from the Denny's. I'd go catch the shuttle bus all the way to the outside, get off at Denny's
on Century.
Right there. So I'm standing there, right? I got this fuchsia loud colored shirt on. Car pull up. I was like, oh shit,
got you.
Nigga was like, clack the window down. That's that nigga right there. I said, oh shit. It's like I'm waiting on this Uber. This Uber says 8 minutes away.
You ain't got no luck.
I'm out here. I'm barefoot. I ain't got nothing popping. I'm like, man, fuck. I'm like, what do they want? And you're like, what is it? I'm trying to look. Do I got anything blue, red on? I got on pink. Nigga, this is in between. Nobody bang on a nigga with pink on. I'm going to be a punk. That's what's going to happen. Nigga, I'm going to put it down. I'm finna, what's up, bitch?
This nigga was sissy, like, sissy.
I'm finna, like, you would just like been a long conversation. Where you from? I don't know where you want me to be from. Like, I'm already making it in my mind up what's going to happen. So the nigga was like, that's the nigga right there. Yeah, it's him. So let's get out the car. I'm like, fuck. And he got out the car, walked up to me. I'm standing there. I got my fist tightened up. And he was like, hey, man, you was on a boat? I said, yeah. And the other nigga, he looked me dead in the eyes and he said, did you miss me? Goddamn. Took y'all ass around the world and dropped y'all ass off. This is another fantastic episode of the Did You Miss Me podcast.
Wow.
Special thanks to my boy Lump for being here today. Great stuff. Blue Laces 1. There will be a part 2. We'll see you next time.
Photos, guys.
Yo, to the best podcast in the whole wide world, best storytellers, we want to give you this right here. An award for being the best fans that we got. Come on over to patreon.com. /Did You Miss Me Podcast, and make sure you support us. Join us over there, as well as, get all the new merchandise we got. DidYouMissMePodcast.com. New merchandise. You see it. You see it. Take it in, bitches. We all up in this thing. Exclusive content only on Patreon.com. We black owned.